constitutional law, we talked about some of the methods of interpreting the Constitution. This is something that I was actually really excited to get into, because there are several methods of constitutional interpretation, meaning courts have looked at the Constitution and they have deciphered its meaning in several ways. There's old ways of doing it. That's probably the originalistic approach. There's contemporary ways of interpreting the Constitution. We didn't get into those today, but I want to focus on the text and the original meaning and understanding how this works. Originalism, that's the text and the meaning, is a very popular way that people enjoy to interpret the Constitution. It refers to the original meaning of the text. There are a lot of originalists. They tend to come in two forms. They could come in textualist or by looking at the original intent of the founders. Textualists look at the Constitution as it reads, pick out words, and really strive to provide definitions from that time of the founding. Those who focus on the original intent look at what the founders thought of the document as it stood at that time, and use that to decipher what the meaning of the Constitution is. You can think of it as almost a legislative history, but nearly 200 years ago. So we have a case that gives us an example of a textualist approach, and this is D.C. versus Heller. And this is about the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. And this opinion was given by Scalia, who is a very famous textualist. He was very well known for defending textualism and originalism. So what happened in this case? Well, D.C. had enacted a law that prohibited the use of handguns, keeping them in your home. So you couldn't buy and keep a handgun. That was the law, and it was challenged by the NRA, and it ended up going to the Supreme Court to consider whether or not this law was a valid constitutional argument. And we have here Scalia's opinion interpreting the law, and we're really given two parts of the law. There's first a prefatory clause, and second there's an operative clause. The prefatory clause says, I'm paraphrasing, that we have the right to maintain a well-maintained militia. And the operative clause says the right to keep and bear arms. And so Scalia here, he's trying to define all these words. So he defines a militia, meaning able-bodied man. And he looks at keep, and he looks at bear, and he looks at arms. And to decide what all these words mean, he goes to a dictionary. And he goes into the people at the time and saw what the original public meaning was at that time. So what the original public meaning is when you're faced with a phrase, you just look at the original meaning as it was understood to mean at the public at the time. So when you're going to a dictionary for arms, you're not looking at a dictionary for 2023. You're looking at a dictionary for 1789 or 1787 to understand what it was when when the founders ended up writing the Bill of Rights. And so that's really how textualism works here. Scalia used this to shut down the constitutionality of that law. Justice Stevens and Justice Breyers wrote dissents using an originalistic method to dispute Scalia's interpretation of that. It's a lot of interesting things because there's a lot of debate about constitutional interpretation. Which method is better? Which method is not? My personal opinion, note this as not an expert, is that it's really impossible for one person to stay devoted to one method of interpretation. So Scalia testified that he was an avid textualist, nothing but textualism. Breyer and Stevens were avid contemporary methods users to interpret the Constitution. But they would often change their arguments at different times to adjust for what they thought the law should be. Yes, they used their different approaches as a default, but they would vary their approaches from time to time. My opinion is that originalism is a good default, but you shouldn't just stick with originalism, but you should try and stick with it for as often as is possible. We'll get into some more of these different methods next week, and that's where we will leave off. Have a good one. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Law Schoolers. Before I let you go, there are four things I want to say. The first thing is, if you enjoyed these episodes and if you enjoyed the website, I would invite you to go and join Law Schoolers Pro, and you can do that by going to lawschoolers.com/join. It's a way for you to support us, but there's also a lot of features there that I think you will enjoy. Second thing is that nearly all of our episodes are unedited. The only ones that aren't are pre-law materials, and the reason for that is so you can actually see the legal material in its raw form as I'm learning it as well. The third thing is that the information contained in these episodes are specifically only for educational purposes. They're not to be used as legal advice. And with that, the fourth thing is, if it is used as legal advice, we are not liable. That is, Law Schoolers is not liable for any legal outcomes. Thank you again for enjoying the show. Have a good one.